Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Things at Zaxby's just got sensational. Because now you can experience their signature Asian Zenzation flavor three different ways. Get that sweet, tangy, citrusy, zesty fusion of flavor rolled up in a giant wrap, drizzled on a salad with an egg roll, of course, or tossed on their famous chicken fingers. Hey, flavor this good deserves its own private menu. Or should I say, Zenyu. The Asian Zenzation lineup, available only at Zaxby's. Who's got the sauce?
Zaxby's.
Welcome back to the Couch GM Podcast. Today I have on flame-throwing relief pitcher Hunter Kranton on the podcast. He was drafted in the third round by the Seattle Mariners this last year out of Kansas. He was their closer in the Big 12. We talked through his time at spring training so far, and he's going to be one of those guys that you need to look out for. He'll be in Seattle before you know it. And this podcast is sponsored by Black Label Supplements. They are a third-party tested, athlete-approved supplement company based here in the Pacific Northwest. They're my go-to for all things pre-workout, post-workout, creatine, you name it. If you're a relief pitcher, a closer in the Mariners system, check out Black Label Supplements. Get you amped up for your outing. And as always, if you or someone you know is thinking of buying, selling, or refinancing a property anywhere on the West Coast, Washington, Oregon, California, Idaho, or Arizona, I'm a full-time mortgage broker during the day when I'm not making these sports videos. It's my goal to help as many sports fans and athletes get into the home of their dreams. If you have any questions whatsoever about mortgage financing, I'll have a link in the description of this video if you'd like to reach out and connect. And for more content like this, make sure to like and subscribe to the Couch GM on YouTube. Find me across social medias. I'll be covering the Seattle Mariners all throughout the season. And comment below who you'd like me to have on next. And with that, let's get in the podcast. All right, Hunter, thanks for coming on the podcast. Really excited to hear more about your background. There's been footage coming out of spring training already of some of your bullpens and some word spreading around that you're, you know, a guy that's pretty high up there and you've got some electric stuff. So let's start right there. First big league spring training, you get drafted last season, start at low A Modesto. Now you're at big league spring training. So what's your experience been so far?
For sure. First off, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate the time. It's been a fast year, you know, to say the least. It's like you said, you know, we started in Modesto here a couple months ago. And now, you know, big league camp, and man, it's everything's moving fast, a lot of fun, and I think it's a great opportunity for me.
So coming into this year, what were your expectations heading down to Arizona? How have they lived up to what you expected?
Oh, man, above and beyond. You know, everybody here in the Mariners are just, it's a great staff, you know, from the front office to the coaches, everybody. It's really a pleasure to be here with Seattle. And honestly, man, like being my first spring training, it's everything that I was hoping it was going to be.
And so coming into this year, I imagine this is your first time meeting Pete Woodworth, the pitching coach for the Mariners.
Yeah.
So what were those initial conversations like? We'll get into your story and some of your arsenal, how you worked up to it. But what were those first conversations with the Mariners this spring?
First off, man, Woody's like the coolest dude I've ever met. You know, within baseball, he's definitely the coolest ever. You know, he's been super flexible with me, nothing but great with me so far. You know, and honestly, I can't wait to start playing for him. I just threw a pen with him yesterday, and you know, he's right behind me watching me. He's encouraging me every pitch, which is, you know, that's something I didn't really think I was going to get at this level, you know, like that hands-on, one-on-one stuff. Mm-hmm. But, man, Woody's been really great.
Has he stood in the box when you're throwing your bullpens also?
Not yet. He's been right behind me. He's like, every pitch, man, he's like, attack, attack, attack. I love it. You know, he fires me up, man. It gets me going.
How much into the detailed analytics are you?
You know, I'm pretty well-versed in it. You know, at Kansas and college the past couple seasons, you know, we had everything. And, you know, a lot of that stuff was huge for me to develop. And, you know, it kind of got me to this level, I feel like. So, yeah, I'm pretty well versed in it. I know what my stuff does, at least. You know, I'm not the smartest dude on the field by any, but I feel like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, so let's get into your story a bit, and then we can work back up to where you currently are at. So you grew up kind of in between San Diego and LA from the looks of it. You went to high school. So I assume that your high school graduation was around COVID time. So that's why you didn't start in college until a little later. Is that correct?
it was 2019. So it was the year before COVID. Kind of lucky with that. You know, I didn't have to go through all that COVID mess in high school. But I dealt with COVID my freshman year.
So how did you initially, basically walk me through that recruiting process? How did you end up deciding to go to San Diego State to start off your career?
For sure. So all throughout high school, I was committed to Arizona. I think I committed at like 14 or 15. So I was a pretty early commit for that time. And then my senior year, I had injury trouble my entire high school career. I played like something like 6 high school games, man. It's like embarrassing, man, to be honest. But so the whole time I was kind of hurt, never played much. And my senior year, I finally realized, hey, I'm going to have to get shoulder surgery here. So I didn't want to go to University of Arizona because it's a tough school, tough place to go and compete. And I didn't want to go in there just completely limping from off the bat. So I decided to decommit about a couple weeks before I had to show up for anything in the summer. So I ended up going to JUCO for about 2 years. First year was the COVID year that I was talking about. That was my freshman year. Honestly, it worked out good for me because I got surgery. So I didn't really miss any serious playing time or anything like that. And then my sophomore year, I pitched like 6 innings coming back from surgery. And honestly, I lucked in the kind of an offer from San Diego State and I took it. And yeah, from there, I only played 1 year at San Diego State. Injury trouble again, pitched, I think it was like 9 innings, something like that. And then I transferred one more time to Kansas. And then, yeah, the rest is history. I was there at Kansas for 2 years. And it was honestly some of the best years I've ever had.
So I guess backing up briefly, you mentioned the shoulder surgery. What exactly was going on? What type of surgery did you have to get?
For sure. So it was called a Bennett's lesion. It's really just a fancy word for like a bunch of bone spurs in the back posterior part of my shoulder. I had shoulder trouble for like 3 years at that point. No doctor could ever tell me what the heck I had. So when I finally realized what it was a big sigh of relief that I can, hey, you know what? I can go into surgery. Yeah, you'll miss some time, but at least you'll feel better coming out of it. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened with the surgery.
Yeah. So we hear from guys that have Tommy John surgery and it's a year recovery period. It sounds like you got surgery and then you came back, you had some more, you got shut down a little bit more. How long did it take for you to ramp back up and to get to full, 100% effort?
Oh man, it was a long process, man. I would say about 8 months until I was like fully, and I think with the injury thing comes confidence. You know, you're not really too confident or too sure in yourself that, heck, can my arm even take this right now? So it took me, I'd say 8 or 9 months to really get into that groove again.
And how did Kansas find you and how did you end up deciding to head out to the Big 12?
Yeah, for sure. So When I played at San Diego State, I only threw 9 innings. Thankfully for me, the 9 innings were good. So I kind of had something to tell other coaches. But honestly, Kansas took a chance on me, man. They saw some of the metrics. They said, oh, you know what? He does have a ride fastball. Maybe he can gain velo. Maybe he can, kind of grow into who he is or who he can be. And I took it. I always wanted to go and play kind of big boy baseball in college. And I felt just, especially at the time with COVID, the West Coast was not a good place to be for just anything, any sport, with all the regulations, restrictions and everything. But so I wanted to go out to either the South or the Midwest. And, I was lucky that Kansas gave me a call.
Absolutely. So you get there, it looks like you had 14 games logged your first year at Kansas. 6 of those were starts. Were those kind of like, were you an opener or were you actually a starter?
So that time I was actually a starter. So I came in as a Sunday starter, was fully bought into the role. I thought at that moment in my life that I was going to be a starter. And honestly, man, it's the crazy story ever. It was the worst year I've ever had in my life. As you can see, I mean, the numbers are like, dude. But I think it was honestly the best thing that could have ever happened to me. It was a hard slap in the face. Something needed to change. I needed to get better in so many different areas of the game. But yeah, that first year I attempted to be a starter. That's what I tell people.
Yeah. So it looks like you had, 14 appearances, 6 starts. So the final 8 were out of the bullpen. At what point did they say, hey, let's put you in the bullpen and see what happens?
For sure. So I think that was actually pretty early on in the year. I think, like you said, I only had 5 or 6 starts, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think two of those starts were like just god awful, like 10 earned runs, like don't even know what happened type of thing.
Yeah.
And so they stuck me in the bullpen pretty early. At first, I was kind of like a middle reliever, and then worked my way up to like a setup, closed a couple times towards the end part of the year. And towards the end part of the year, the velo started to come again, gains were starting to be made, and you could kind of see that, like, okay, maybe this is my role for the future. That's certainly how I felt. I think that's probably how Fitzy felt over Kansas. But yeah, thank God they tried it.
Yeah, and then heading into that final year at Kansas, it looks like your velocity jumped about 4.3 miles an hour on the four-seam fastball, and then your velocity jumped like 6.6 miles per hour on the slider. Can you walk me through? And part of it is they described that you were learned how to get into your legs more. How accurate is that?
I think the legs thing is pretty accurate. You know, I would say that's 10% of everything that happened. But, you know, I think I went into that offseason after the bad year, the first year at Kansas, and I was like, man, you know, I need to change things. I need to research things. I need to kind of figure out who I'm going to be if I'm going to be a late end guy. And I could always throw hard. My issue was just always health. I never felt good. I mean, I was at my first year at Kansas, I was like throwing 93, 95, 2-5, but arm hurt every day. So health was the number one thing. I changed a bunch of stuff off the field. Diet changed, sleep. I became like a joke around. I feel like I'm a professional sleeper at this point, but you know, hydration levels changed, all that changed. And I think that gave me the opportunity to be healthier, to stay on the field longer. And then, as you probably know, once you stay on the field longer, you have so much more time to get better at things. And I think that's what happened with me.
Yeah. So walk us through some of those changes. I mean, I know it sounds like you're very regimented with your sleep. I wish I was much better at getting to bed earlier. Walk me through kind of what your day looks like and what you have to stick to every day.
Yep, sure. So the biggest things, like I said, were the diet. I was never a horrible eater. I just, you know, I would definitely, I'd have some Stouffer mac and cheese whenever I could, stuff like that, right? But that last year at Kansas, I really changed everything. I went to carnivore.
Okay.
Super regimented with the carnivore stuff. And honestly, that was the biggest change for me off the field. I gained like 2-3 miles an hour, just that alone. Inflammation was gone. Was never feeling bad. I was never an up and low person with energy. Besides that, I think my mechanics did get smoother. If you look from old video to now, everything's smoothened out. I kind of realized who I was as a pitcher. Kind of just go out there, throw as hard as I can, have some fun. But other than that, like a whole training routine, I realized I don't need to train like a bodybuilder. That was a big aspect for me. I felt like explosive training was the best way. You know, I'm not the biggest guy out there. I'm not 6'5", 240. So I had to throw hard doing something different. So I found out explosive training was good. The carnivore diet helped me be more explosive. It helped with my recovery. And then obviously, like you said, sleep was, that's like the number one PED that nobody overuses.
Yeah. So how many hours of sleep do you get a night?
I get 9 of active per night.
Okay. So is it like 10, 11 in bed, like 9, you're actually getting quality sleep?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'd say restorative typically is anywhere from 4 to 6. Six okay. Is kind of the crazy end. But yeah, 4 to 5 is very average for me. Time in bed is like, it's crazy. 11 hours, 11 and a half hours.
Man. Yeah. And then, I mean, we've heard about the carnivore diet. What exactly does that look like? Do you start off with eggs in the morning? Is it the same meal every day? Do you always finish with a steak?
For sure. So for me, I figured out that I don't have to be like full blown 100% carnivore. I tend to be like 75-80. Mm-hmm. So most of the time it's eggs, any dairy products just with no sugar. That's kind of like the biggest thing for me. I just want to avoid sugar at all costs. I feel like that's like kind of the hidden devil of our modern day.
Yeah.
But I limit carbs as much as I can, except before I pitch. I like kind of having a little carb load, like something like pasta. That's why I say 80%. But yeah, like you said, steak, ground beef is a huge one for me. Ground bison's good stuff. I mean, fish is great. You know, anything that you can get your hands on that is just meat, obviously.
Yeah. And then walk us through your arsenal. So you got the four-seam fastball, which is like 95 to 100. I saw a tweet out there that was describing that you have 18 inches of induced vertical break, 9 inches of horizontal break on your four-seam, You have a negative 3.9 vertical approach release, I believe. And then you had a 36% whiff rate on your four-seam fastball, 38% chase rate. Then you also have a slider to go with it. Can you walk us through like those metrics, maybe what exactly that means and how that means you have to attack hitters?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll start with a four-seamer. That's probably the most, that's the easiest one. The induced vertical break is like probably the biggest thing for me. You know, I feel like velo is always, you know, everybody talks about velo. It's obviously a big deal. But I think when you throw hard and you have the ability to kind of ride the baseball, it changes how you attack hitters. So for me, at least in college and my first little stint in pro ball, everything was high. I want to throw the fastball high. I want to ride it high, give the illusion to the batter that it's going to be down the middle when, so that's kind of the big thing with the fastball. Slider has gotten way, it's funny, man, and pro ball got way harder. For some reason, it's like when school stopped, you get more time to kind of, you know, dicker with some things on the pitches. But I figured out how to throw it a little harder, which I always kind of wanted to do. I think in college, I didn't think it was hard enough. It was like 86, 89-ish. And pro ball is 88, 92. So that's a lot better. But yeah, the slider, it's more of a gyro. So you're not going to get some guys throw sweepers nowadays that are, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like 20 inches plus. I've never been able to do that. My gyro, you know, it's just a little movement, but it's like I said, seven, eight miles an hour off the fastball. Yeah. Has a little drop to it.
Yeah.
And then recently this offseason, I worked on a cutter and a changeup. Weird thing with the cutter, I was like my best pitch in college in the fall. I just never threw it. So I think cutter, honestly, one of my favorite pitches. It's more of a ride cutter.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. But that one, it's just like a really harder version of my slider. It'll be anywhere from 4 to 6 in game. Cut movement. Kind of like it's a good pitch for me to throw if I do get behind the count. Like I'm 2-0, 3-0, guys are sitting dead red heater. I can kind of mix that in there. And the changeup, honestly, man, it's just like a show pitch. 5 to 10% of the time, hey, man, I'm going to flip a changeup in and show you something different.
Watch their knees buckle.
Yeah. Hopefully, right?
So heading into the offseason, how did you decide to add those two pitches? Was that something that the Mariners communicated to you? Like, hey, this is your arsenal. These might play into what your current mix is?
Yes, yeah. So the Mariners, I mean, they do a great job. You know, we have like an off-season conference call, like right before we go off, and they highlight everything they want you to do, what you did well, what you can, you know, obviously improve upon. And for me, they're like, hey, man, like maybe add a splitter, add a changeup. I tried the splitter. It used to be one of my best pitches. I lost it. Couldn't explain how I lost it, but I did. So I couldn't throw that anymore. So I tried the changeup. Never been a great pronator, so it's just really a three-finger changeup that I kind of lob in there. Other than that, the cutter was kind of on my own. I always loved the cutter. Like I said, you know, I think it's a good pitch to throw in there when they're just sitting dead red on one or two pitches. And sometimes, you know, it is hard throwing two pitches only. You know, it's like a 50-50 chance, you know, that they get it right. So I just think, you know, with the cutter, it provides something different for the hitter.
And with the other pitchers, have you gotten some advice maybe on like gripping, you know, a mindset with some of those pitches? Or was that all, did you go to like a Tread Athletics, Driveline, something in the offseason to help shape those pitches?
No. So I've never gone to like a facility or anything. The guy that I work out with, you know, for throwing wise, his name is Dom Johnson. He's down in San Diego. He does a lot of San Diego guys, bunch of minor leaguers, bunch of major leaguers. Super lucky to be able to work with him. But, you know, honestly, we go about things like the old school way. With the cutter especially, we wanted to not be able to see spin on it. We wanted to just see white baseball, and then boom, randomly, you know, sharp break at the end. More of like Mariano type of thing. Not saying my cutter's Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
At all.
You're working towards that.
Yeah, exactly. There's always a goal with every pitch. Yeah. But yeah, you know, Dom is great. He's man, the best, honestly. You know, he works with you, he encourages you, and you know, you always leave a better pitcher.
Yeah, and then you know, working through spring training, I haven't seen you in a game yet. You know, games just started. Do you have a date to where you're going to be logging some innings?
I don't yet. The sick thing, unfortunately, like put me back a week and a half. I lost like 13 pounds. So I'm working.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, it was a bad one, man. But I'm working back. I threw my first pen yesterday. Felt good. You know, it was good to get back into rhythm. But I think my lives are next Thursday. So after live, I think I'll be getting into the game stuff.
Sweet. And then, you know, in your conversations with the coaching staff, have they described kind of what the plan is for you this year on what to expect with your path? Or is it just, hey, let's get you in the game, see what happens and go from there?
Honestly, get in the game, see what happens, I think is probably, you know, what is going to happen. But yeah, you know, I don't know what the path entails. I would have never told you a year ago I would have been here. So it's been really fun. It's been a hectic year, but really exciting, man. I can't wait to see what happens.
Going from the Big 12 to low A Modesto, what was the difference in competition level? Like, we hear that SEC baseball is comparable to like double A. So what was your experience with that jump?
For sure. That's a great question, actually. You know, it's funny, like being in the Big 12, you always hear about the SEC, right? It's SEC. But honestly, when I got out to Modesto, I felt that I was more than prepared to pitch there. And that is, you know, not saying anything against low A hitters or anything like that. There's a lot of great hitters at that level. A lot of young guys that are going to be studs for them. But I felt that the Big 12 prepared me really well. And, you know, I was confident every day. I was just, you know, honestly just really confident in every pitch.
Moving into your role as a closer at Kansas, what was that mindset shift that you had to have? How do you get ready to close out a game when you're coming out of the bullpen?
For sure. Yeah. It's kind of funny, man. Like I said, I try to be a starter. I think I was always meant to be a closer because, you know, I thrive on adrenaline. I thrive on kind of late game stuff. Yeah. And I always knew that, but I never really put two and two together. So when they kind of transitioned me into that closing role, it didn't feel new to me. It felt good. It felt like, you know, pretty normal. I can get super excited, adrenaline packed on even harder. And I think because of that, the stuff elevated. You know, I love that role. Closing is like the best thing, you know, best job in the world, man. One inning, go out, blow it out, you know, and win a game. So yeah, honestly, I'm really lucky that they gave me the opportunity there.
Yeah. Shut the doors on the opponents, you know, dab up your catcher after the game.
Nope.
So growing up, what teams were you watching? Did you watch Mariano? What were the guys that you watched on the baseball field and the teams that you paid attention to?
Oh man. Well, I grew up in SoCal. So I was an Angels fan my whole life.
Okay.
You know, they kill me now. They killed me the past 6-8 years, but there's a time there, man. When I was young, they were winning the AL West every year. It was a really good time to be an Angels fan. A lot of fun growing up. You know, there were playoffs every year. I got to see Derek Jeter, Manny Ramirez coming to, you know, Orange County and play. It was awesome. It was a great childhood.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Hunter, really appreciate your time. Really excited to see you out there. Get rested up. Looking forward to seeing you on the field and we'll see you in Seattle sometime soon.
Thank you, Connor. I appreciate the time, man.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.